Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, so the season for Iron Fist is over, but we have special guest Louis Tan next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah.
Hot music
band
suggestions.
Never heard it before.
Gotta get on it. Come on.
Yeah, we're getting our warm up on. All right.
Everybody's remixing this right now. This is hot.
We're gonna have to look up more jams of this. Do you have a favorite mix of it so far?
Major Lazer remix is pretty good.
Okay. Well, Major Lazer bangs. So right. Okay, I feel that.
All right. Okay. Hey guys, so you're watching the Iron Fist AfterBuzz TV special because the season's over, but we have Mr. Louis Tan with us to talk about the show and his career. Yay!
Thank you guys. It's a pleasure.
I'm Rick Hong, and you can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G, and I'm joined by Joelle Monique.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Shout out.
And Louis, yes. Where can everybody find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at TheLouisTan and LouisTanOfficial on the gram. Everything else.
Follow him.
Yes.
His tweets are
amazing. Superstar. Superstar. Yes. All right. I mean, how do we want to start this? We want to talk about Iron Fist, right?
Yeah, totally. So, episode 8, which is like the pinnacle, is everything. Okay. So, first of all,
I know. There's so much to talk. Yeah, and I think we're a little giddy too. But I guess what I want to know.
Made you giddy, right?
Yeah, you did make me giddy. What I want to know is, okay, so you're in episode 8. Did you get a call? Like, was it? Did you have to like audition for the for? I want you to say his name because like you said on the show, like I'll butcher the name.
Joe Chang.
Right on.
That's the name. But you can say Zoe. Joe.
Zoe.
Yeah. In Hong Kong, you probably say Joe. But, you know, he's English and Asian. So mm-hmm. He says Joe Chang because he wants to explain it to the guy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I'm Korean. That's why I was like, I'm going to butcher this because, like, it's completely different.
What would you have said? I'm just curious.
Well, no, because, like, for me, like, when you were, like, it sounds like Joe Chang.
Yeah.
But it's not spelled that way.
Yeah. So well, I was like, saying it to a foreigner at the time.
Right. So
he was a foreigner in the land, so I wanted to make sure he really understood. If I was like, Joe Chang, he'd be like, huh? So I was like, Joe Chang.
Yeah.
You get it?
I mean, plus, it's like, I'm going to let you say the guy's name, not me, because, like, obviously, you know how to say his name, so it's because it's you, right? And it's your character.
That's right.
No, I want to know how the character came to you, like in terms of like, did your agent call to say, hey, there's a guest star role for this? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, as everybody kind of knows by now, there was some other roles that were offered to me and or that I was looked at for at the time. Those roles didn't work out, and I was in Argentina at the time. Yeah, Spain. I was in Spain at the time. Argentina was a few months before.
Right, we go from South America to Europe.
Yeah. So, I travel a lot, so sometimes I get confused. Oh, no, that's right. I was in Spain. I was on a nude beach in Spain. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, because you were like...
It's just, you know, I've been seeing the gram. I've been there. I've observed it.
Listen, man. I was born in England, man. We just traveled around a lot. My parents and I, my family, would go to a lot of nude beaches in France, all over the place. It's no big deal. So, it's not a big deal for me. Nudity is not like a thing. You
I'm
know?
Very that, American.
That's an Amer- yeah, that's an American thing.
I'm super American, bro.
Cool. That's all right. That's all right. I understand. But I was on a nude beach and I got a phone call to go back to the hotel and do a self-tape for this part, which they were interested in me playing. And I didn't get the breakdown at the time. All I was told was that he had a dragon inside of him and that he was drunk. I was I mean, they had me. I was signed up. I was signed up on dragon. And then once I heard he was a drunk dragon, I was like, yeah. I'm definitely interested in that one. So went back to the hotel room, and I rented a conference room for $100. And I tore the conference room apart with a water jug. And oh my God. Just went crazy in this room doing this tape. Water everywhere, all over the place. And
wait, was it like Flashdance where you're like...
yeah, no, similar. Very, very, very similar. And sent in the tape, and they liked what I did. So next thing you know, I was on a flight to Brooklyn.
So I'm curious. So you say you were like elated at the fact that you get to play like a drunk fighter. I mean, were you looking at Jackie Chan's Drunken Master at all?
Of course. Like... Well, that's the pinnacle. So like, you know, obviously Jackie's the master. He's the one who, you know, if I can come halfway to what he does, then I would be overwhelmed and happy. So, that's the pinnacle. I studied what he was doing. I didn't want to imitate Jackie, or everybody knows Jackie when they say Drunken Master. It's Jackie Chan, you know. So I didn't want to, you know, imitate him. I wanted to pay respect to what he did, but I wanted to make it different. Plus, I have different... My body's different. I'm much taller. I have, you know, I'm much heavier. So I wanted to fit the body movement and empower the character in a different way. You know what I mean? Make him more aggressive. Make him more longer instead of shorter and flowy. I can still be flowy, but when I'm aggressive, it's in a long distance. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what I was feeling when I was taking on the body movement of the character.
Is there any chance season 2 you might pop up again?
Because I mean, no, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I had to rewatch it again. Actually, I had to show my girlfriend to say, "Hey, I was like, I met you know, because I met you last, or met, officially met you last week."
Yep.
And I was like, "Oh my God!" I was like, "You've got to see it because this is like awesome." And yeah, but I you get bloodied up pretty well, but. It's very ambiguous in terms of,
you know, what happens. It's not the first time. You saw the character's got a huge scar on his face. Mm-hmm. It's not his first time to get bloodied up. It's all right. The thing is, I mean, in the comic book, it takes a long time for Danny Rand to beat this guy. I mean, he even has a team up with Luke, with all these other characters to defeat this guy because he's just too powerful. So that's not the way that they went with it in the show. Having said that, if season 2 comes back and they want to bring out the dragon. There's this amazing scene in the comic, amazing frame where he's staring into the mirror and he has his shirt off and his back is like super scarred up. His face is scarred up and he's looking into the mirror, and in the mirror is just this giant dragon, and he looks open his neck and he like takes a part of his skin off and you see the green there. Oh, and cool. I was like, I mean, that to see that on screen, I think that would be incredible. So there's more layers to the character that you can peel off, and I think that it would be interesting to see that in season 2. So, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to doing that if they came and offered it to me, sure.
Well, so you're talking about the scar, so I wanted to know, how long did it take to put that makeup on?
Probably, I think about an hour. Yeah, about 45 minutes to an hour.
You're just sitting in the chair and there?
Just like, sitting in there, layers. Getting pretty.
Oh my goodness. Zoe Saldana talks about getting into her makeup for Guardians of the Galaxy. She's a texter. She likes to text or just yap at her stylist the whole time. But her co-star, whose name I cannot remember, who plays Nebula, she likes to just sit back and just be quiet and just observe, like, just get it done. It's a good time for a nap. Where are you at?
Okay, I'm this dude.
I was going to ask you. Yeah.
I'm this dude. I'm super cool and very respectful. And, you know, sometimes it can be irritating to have that push on your face and the alcohol. And it's like, you know... I get in Zen mode. I put music on. It's usually early in the morning because, you know, we're showing up on set early. So I'll put some nice classical music on or something chill, and I'll just, like, zone out. So.
How often are you listening? You listen to music when you train? You listen to music when you get your makeup on? This is, like, a big
all
part
day.
Of your life.
All day. Yeah, I can't live without it all day.
Specific genres you prefer?
I'm a big jazz and blues kind of guy. That's my go-to music. I listen to a lot of classical music. Listen to a lot of Chopin. I actually just came from my piano class. I'm learning how to
Really?
How to play.
So you're learning how to play like, what, like Mary Had a Little Lamb and...
Oh, no, right now? Right now, yeah. Right, no, right now I'm literally just learning keys. I'm just doing like 5, 4, 3, 2,
oh,
one,
so,
three,
so four, you didn't even know how to play two. That yet.
No. Very basic. But, you know, my hands from training a lot and doing swords and doing all sorts of very, you know, aggressive sports, my hands are like, they're just stiff and kind of like, they get shaky sometimes. So the piano's been like kind of teaching me how to be more calm and be more fluid with the hand. It's a nice counterbalance to what I do normally. So,
wait, why piano now?
Well, no, I've always wanted to play, and I just got sick of saying that. So I just picked it up. I bought a piano and I started taking lessons. Yeah.
Man, so you're like complete opposite me because, like, you know, having Asian parents, my parents were, yeah, you're gonna learn to play the piano. I was like, no, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I can play it, but I'm really poorly now. But I absolutely hated it. So that's pretty. I admire you to say, you know, like later, when people pick up the piano, like later on and not as a kid,
yeah,
to start doing it.
Yeah, we have to fall in love with those type of things. Like, my father made me do martial arts because he's a martial artist. So he won the national title of England in kickboxing, and martial arts is very close to him in many ways. It kind of helped him survive. So he taught it to me as a young child, and it was how we bonded. Like, he would sit there stretching in front of the television, like, and like watching old Jackie Chan films or watching Bruce Lee or watching, you know, just old movies. And I would sit there and stretch with him. You know, that's kind of how we bonded. And then, yeah, I was the same as you. I was like, I don't want to do martial arts anymore. I went to, I was like 13 or 14. I'm like, you know, I want to go to the movies with, you know, with my friends and skateboard or whatever. It's not cool to do martial arts. And then a few years later, I got in a fight in the street and lost. And I was like, okay, whoa, maybe these martial arts, you know, maybe there's something going on with that. So I'm like, Dad, can we pick that back up?
That's so humbling.
And now I'm just in love. So sure. Now I'm like obsessed. Now I love all forms of the movement. And it's just such a big part of who I am now that if I didn't have it, I would be like, I would be dizzy, you know?
So when you're at the hotel and you're doing the drunk, you're figuring out the style of this character. How many times were you looking in the mirror first, or do you tape yourself, watch it to say, no, that movement's not right? Like, how many times did it take to get?
I just ordered like 4 tequila shots.
Okay, what? you really embraced the character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm completely method actor. I was drunk on set, like every. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, what?
I'm totally kidding. See, that'll be the clip that they put.
The assistant director just chasing you down.
That'll be the clip.
Like, no, stop it.
Drunken actor from Marvel, Louis Tan, destroyed a hotel room in Spain. No. Man, it was rough because it has to be turned in like the next day. You don't get it and get a week, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get a week to prepare. I'll be lucky if I get 2 days to prepare. So, I did my best. I did some quick cramming homework and chose a couple things. When you have limited time to prepare an audition, you make a few solid big choices, and you go with those choices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm not an actor, but I can only imagine that's what you've got to do. Go big or go home.
That's the best way to do it. Then once I get the role, hopefully that was enough, and then I can really do my research and I can create this whole thing. So, yeah. So, no, I just did a quick cram, and but no one will ever see that audition tape. That will never be released. No.
Disappointment.
After it was done, right, and the show came out, and everybody's saying that they love the character and they love my performance, I was like overwhelmed, and I was just humbled by it. But then I was like, let me just go back and peep the audition tape because maybe it's good. Mm. You know what I mean? I watched it and I was like, oh, delete, delete, delete.
So you actually have some really like
it's hot.
Great, like training videos online. How much time goes into like producing those? Is that like a big part of your like job as an actor, do you think, is to use social media, or is that more just like an outlet for you as a person?
It's a complete outlet. I don't see it as a job. I mean, it's changing nowadays. You guys know. I mean, it's just it's crazy how it's affecting the actual industry and people's choices. I think there could be a lot of great uses for it. But no, for me, it's just an outlet. I just literally started filming the training tapes because we thought it was cool. And
it was cool. And if you haven't checked them, like, go pee them. Oh god, they're so cool.
And yeah, then the more I posted them, the more it got attention, and it really got out there. Yeah, but that's just a normal. That was literally that's just training. I mean, even filming it is kind of like a pain. It's a pain in the ass because you're like, well, I got to film this now. But really, I mean, you can ask my trainer, or you can ask anyone who's seen me train. We'll train really hard, and we'll just sneak in little clips here and there. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're there filming, and I mean, we go there and grind.
It's less about like trying to get the right camera angle and more about like what you're training for that day.
Well, yeah, if I go home and I didn't get a good training session, then I'm gonna be irritated, you know what I mean? So yeah, we go there to train and then we film whenever we can and bits and pieces, you know.
That's cool. Yeah. But you've been using social media to kind of reach out for different roles lately. Like, I know the Black Girl Nerds have been really supporting you on trying to get you into the Badlands, which is one of my favorite shows on TV right now. It's super awesome.
Hell, you've been watching, respect, and tweeting with the love fans. That show.
What's that process been like as you're kind of like...
Well, I'm just getting used to it. You know, I'm not like a pro or anything, but I'll see stuff on, you know, I'll retweet people's suggestions, or maybe someone will be like, hey, you should go check this out. I'll do some research and look at it and be like, oh, wow. And then I'll have my people kind of reach out. And yeah, it's interesting how that happens. They've hooked me up with some pretty good connections off of Twitter, you know.
Keep tweeting.
Yeah. Shout out to, Lexi Alexander, the director of The Punisher. She was one of them. I mean, she got hooked up with me through Twitter. So shout out to Lexi. She's incredible.
She's and, the best. She walks the walk, too.
Shout out to my Twitter followers, boosting my career and helping me. So thank you, guys.
So when you were doing the episode, how long were you on set for?
I'm not quite sure how long I was on set for. I came out a month before to train for the specific style.
It took a month to do that sequence.
Yeah. I mean, it was a longer sequence. There was a lot that was going into it, and I wasn't shooting every day. So maybe they'd shoot a piece of it and then they'd go do some pickups later on. But I came out early to train with the team, the HITS International Stunt Team, led by Brett Chan. That guy's a beast. And they had these guys that are just like some of the best in the world at Kung Fu, just beating my ass every day. Yeah, it was...
Were you training mostly like in character, or... Like, I'm curious first, like what the regiment was like.
When I first got there, I was like, oh, I'm going to learn choreo. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no. They're like, you're gonna learn. They're like, you're gonna learn kung fu.
Oh crap!
Then you're gonna learn choreo. So it was hard, man. It was hard. It was a little bit frustrating, but I do like doing it that way because then it's gonna, at the end of the day, look more authentic. Yeah. I don't train kung fu. You know, that's not the style that I've trained. So yeah, it was nice to have kind of like somebody leading the way and showing me exactly what to do, even though they were like 5 foot. They're like, bend over backwards, like just like this. I'm like.
Wait, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2", 185 pounds.
Okay.
So how many Prison Martial Arts do you know?
I'm the first Drunken Master over 6 foot.
That's a... What?
Little IMDb fact for you.
someone's gonna pop it on there now.
Someone's gonna put it on there. No, yeah. But that's the truth. Unless I'm...
So, okay. Part of the challenges are bending over. Like... What are some of the other issues in just being tall and learning this particular type of martial arts?
Hitting your head on, like, lamps? Does that count?
Wait, were you, like, leaping super high?
I got this, like, chandelier in my house, and, like, I always hit... Okay, that's not what you meant.
No, but you, I mean, but I always imagine, like, yeah, if you are on set and, like, you're that, there are things that are, like, getting bashed, it's, like, isn't usually, like, made out of candy or...
Candy glass?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the wood that I got kicked into, that's real wood. It just got serrated a little bit. You saw one piece of it fell and hit me on the head, right?
I was thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if it says, ow.
And they used that shot. I love that they used that shot. That's so great. Afterward, everyone's like, are you all right? I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Worth it for the shot, though, right?
Yeah, worth it, man. Totally. The shot looked great. Yeah. I love stuff like that. Happy accidents, they're called.
So like, it wasn't like you were dealing with... Because I was trying to figure out the expertise part. Like, were you... Obviously, you're getting trained, but then what's it like to have to go up against someone that's, like, either if the style's different or if they're not quite up to speed in terms of, like, their own martial arts, if that gets frustrating for you, or if you're like, no, we've just got to work it out because it's like dancing. It's just choreography. And...
Yeah, I mean, it is like dancing. And, yeah, like dancing, your partner has to work with you. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has different levels of how much they've trained and how much they understand martial arts, how much you understand film choreography as well as martial arts. So that's something that's been in my family, you know, since I was 2 years old. So for me, I understand that concept about it. And it's frustrating sometimes, but you just got to do your best, you know. You just do your best and hope for the... hope for the best outcome.
A little bit about like your love.
Why are you nervous?
No, I'm formulating a question.
Okay, okay.
Because we have so many.
Okay. And the question is, so you started, you trained and were watching like movies and television a lot with your dad. Where does your love of movies kind of come into like acting? Like when do you fall in love with movies and when do you fall in love with acting?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, you know, my dad would show me old Peter Sellers films.
Nice.
He would show me, you know, Woody Allen. He would show me classics like Gone with the Wind, like Dr. Zhivago. And as a young kid, you don't know really what that's about. And you're like, nah, this is not. Because you always want to do.
Because that stuff is adult matter. I was the same way.
And you want to do the new thing. Like, what's new? You're like, well, no, Dad, that's not cool. This anime is cool. You know what I mean? And like, you don't know what's going on. And then as you get older, you start to realize that, like, oh my God, like, these are timeless classics. So I started studying Godard. I started studying Bertolucci. I started studying Hitchcock. You know, the greats. I love P.T. Anderson. I love Wes Anderson. I love Tarantino. I love Scorsese. You know what I mean? Those are directors that Nolan, you know what I mean? Like, these are guys who I follow and I love dearly. So Inarritu, Alejandro Inarritu, like, these are guys who I go by director. I went by a series of directors, and I'd get all their movies and sit down and just study them.
So you're a believer in the auteur theory?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, 100%.
Right on. I mean, you're only as good as your taste at the end of the day. You have to have good taste in order to translate that to film. And then once you're in the process of translating that, things get lost and things turn out differently on set. So you have to start off with a high standard, right?
So who's the peak then? Who's the dream to work with?
Oh, I know the role that's the dream because I heard it the other day. We'll go into that one a little in a second.
Yeah, well, that's different. Which director would I want to work with the most?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan of P.T. Anderson. I think P.T. and Tarantino, because he's not apparently not making very many more movies. I guess he's only making two more movies.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, maybe they would be the top two for me to work with.
I like Paul Thomas Anderson's approach to filmmaking, which is like family first. I mean, this idea of like, he did what the fuck with Marc Maron, where he's talking about like his favorite sound is like just the pitter patter of his kids' feet throughout his house. And that's kind of his approach to filmmaking, is just bring the family together, shoot it, make it happen.
Yeah.
That's kind of a beautiful part of it.
I want
to
be part of that
part
family.
Of.
Yeah, I've seen There Will Be Blood like 150 times.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Nights. I drink your milkshake.
So, wait, then what's the role?
So I got to meet Lewis the other day at the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival, and one of my colleagues for Popcorn Talk, Carrie Lane, had asked him and said, and I was like, that is a great, awesome answer. He wants to be James Bond.
Come on now, that is very dope.
I was like, that was not even on my radar for an answer for you to say. Like,
not want to be, darling. I will be one day.
Several questions then. Okay, what type of, are you more old school James Bond, gadget style? Are you more international man of mystery, or are you more like kind of loner with a fist?
Oh, what, Austin Powers James Bond?
Well, yeah, a little bit. Like, sometimes we were able to get, like, with Pierce Brosnan, we had, like, a little more comedy.
Well, I grew up with Pierce.
Yeah.
I grew up, so that was how I was introduced to James Bond originally. I grew up with Pierce. Pierce was always James Bond. Daniel Craig, I think, is the manly part of James Bond that I think needs to be there.
Fathers loved him.
He's amazing. I mean, incredible. Not taken away from what he was doing. I think there's something about the, for lack of a better word, charm that's not, that he kind of gets overshadowed by his manliness.
Yeah.
And he is manly. So
he's,
I thought,
busted in the ball.
So yeah. So I think bringing that back would be nice. But I mean, Roger Moore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Okay. So more like, Roger Moore was kind of almost like a gunslinger type of Bond, where he was just like quick on the trigger and didn't have time for anyone's BS. I can dig it. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is your Bond girl then?
Who's the Bond girl?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. For my movie?
Yeah.
For my James Bond. Oh, man. That's a hard one.
That's really hard. Yeah, that's really tough.
Ava Green was a good Bond girl. I thought she was pretty cool.
Ava Green was really freaking
lovely. Leia was good, too. They always pick great Bond girls. Barbara Broccoli, she's amazing. She has a great eye.
I would love to see you with a Bond girl who could fight too.
Yeah,
I feel like we haven't really had like a real. We've had like some spy girls, and we've had some like double crossing girls. Yeah. But we haven't had
What's
one
the
that,
youngest
like,
James Bond?
Ooh,
Because I got a few more years, I think. But that's the seed that I'm planting.
Oh, you know, this is actually interesting. So before they cast, I know this for a fact, that before they cast Daniel Craig, it was supposed to, Henry Cavill.
Oh, okay.
Henry Cavill was, like, had the paperwork signed, yeah. like, ready
I
to go.
About
but
that.
But they decided to go older.
I'm glad.
So that's why,
I'm glad.
That's why they did Daniel Craig.
That's a win. I think they got a win there.
Oh, yeah. But so in terms of young, I don't know. Because like, they seem all
around the same age. Right?
You know, and Pierce Brosnan actually, before they went to Timothy Dalton, was going to be Bond. Mm. But he was doing a TV show called Ram Ending Steel, which they wouldn't let him get out of. So luckily for him, he aged very well. Mm. And he had the opportunity again.
Mm.
Unlike a Tom Selleck, who would have been Indiana Jones, except he couldn't get out of his Magna P.I. contract.
Right.
So Harrison Ford got that role.
Yeah, timing. Timing's very important, which is why I'm planting the seed now.
That's smart.
You got 10 to 15 years to come up with a concept, build it. You said earlier something about anime, and now I have to ask.
Yeah.
What kind of anime were you watching as a kid?
Oh, as a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Ghost. Ghost in the Shell.
Okay, right on. That was too lofty for me. I couldn't stick with it.
Oh, really?
When I was like 10, I was like, the hell is happening?
I was watching Afro Samurai.
Yes!
Afro Samurai totally. Was the truth. Actually, when you watch stuff like that, you really learn how to direct. I mean, those shots, or even if you read like the comic books, I mean, it's like a storyboard. It's beautiful. I love it. What else is I watching? I mean, the classics, Spirited Away, stuff like that.
Very classic. Do you want to direct at all?
I would love to. Yeah.
You've directed some.
Yeah.
You've directed like some stuff.
I consider myself a filmmaker. You know, I don't just consider myself an actor. I've always, ever since I was a teenager, been somebody that wanted to do it all in the film world. So, and I feel like people have done it before, and I feel like I can do it too. You know what I mean? Even Jackie directs, Jackie does his stunts, and Jackie's a fantastic actor. There's a lot of people that did it, and I look up to those people. So yeah, I would love to direct. I've written a few screenplays. I got some in the works right now, so we'll see.
What kind of stories are you looking to tell?
Just things that move people, interesting things that push boundaries and break boundaries. But I mean, I love everything. I mean, I wouldn't say I just want to do one thing, but yeah, I mean, I gear towards drama, action, but I love comedies.
You did comedy pretty well, or at least physical comedy. You did really, really
well.
Oh,
really? Thank you. Yeah. I think people are always surprised when they see me do comedy. I have to keep reminding my agents, like, hey guys, where's the comedy stuff? Because, you know, they see me do a lot of villains, a lot of dark roles, a lot of, like, drug dealers and gangsters. And
you're young and you have the stature.
Well, you know what?
Done. Make it happen.
You know what? I love it. Something Tom Hardy was saying I really like. And he was like, yeah, I get to explore these avenues and these dark characters even deeper each time. Because they were asking him, you know, how come or how does he feel that he has to keep playing these dark roles? And I was like, yeah, you know, I should really appreciate it more and kind of – I do explore them more, but I started to kind of resent it every time I got it. I was like, oh, again? Because I feel like I can do it all, and I like to show that, you know?
I feel you. You know, write something, we'll support it, we'll put it out there.
Oh, that's happening.
Hell yes.
Awesome. Speaking of, I was trying to figure out the... Well, so you just rapped on a movie with Gerard Butler.
Yes, The Den of Thieves.
Can you tell us a little bit about that role?
Yeah.
If not, that's okay too. But because since you're talking about genre, you're like, I'm either stereotyped to be this, or like,
yeah,
or I want to be doing some comedy. But I wanted to see like what this role.
Right. Christian Gutiérrez is the director of that film. He's a amazing director and also a writer. I did action work on a film called Olympus Has Fallen with Gerard Butler. Antoine Fuqua directed that. It was incredible to watch him work. And he was the writer of that. And London Has Fallen, he wrote. And so this is his, I believe, directorial debut as far as the feature film world. And he called me up and I have a cool little cameo in the film. I came on a little bit late, but they called me up and the director and the producer, Tucker Tooley, good friends of mine, and called me up and like, hey, come play with us. So that's what happened. It's a crime robber thriller.
Fine. I just recently saw Dolph Lundgren at the New York Film Academy, and he's talking about his years doing stunts, like performing his own stunts, and pushing his body way, way past its limit for the sake of the art. And I was wondering if that is, A, common in your field, and B, what's the furthest you've ever gone for, like, a shot?
Oh, man, yeah, it's very common in what I'm doing. And I don't mind it. I enjoy it. You know what I mean? I was telling my friends, I was sitting on a set and I was just acting. There was nothing going on. I'm just acting. There's no crazy action. And I was like, yeah, this is a lot of fun, but I wish I was like, I wish I was fighting or jump, you know, doing something crazy. But then when I'm doing the crazy thing, I'm like going home like, oh my God, I can't move. You know what I mean? So it's one of those situations where you're like, you miss it when it's not there. But yeah, the craziest thing that I've put myself through, I snowboarded behind a moving train once.
Like on tracks, actually moving? Yeah. Were you like grinding the rail, or were you like on the
tracks? So if you Google, now it's going to get all blown up. No. If you Google Mountain Dew train boarding, there's a video that pops up, and it's me in Chicago. I think I was 20 years old, and the director of Act of Valor,
okay,
Scotty Waugh, called me up and was like, hey, you snowboard? I'm like, yeah. He's like, want to come do something for us in Chicago? I'm like what? He's like, well, we're going to pull you behind a train, you know, kind of like a wakeboard, but on a train track. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go do that. So that was my mentality at the time. Still is. But anyway, I start off on an escalator, and I come down free-falling down an escalator on a snowboard, and it leads to the bottom of the Chicago subway track. As that's happening, a train comes at the same time with my homies on the back, no. And they have a wakeboard rope. And as soon as they pass me, they throw me the wakeboard rope, and I catch it with one hand, maybe it was two, and I slide off to the side and jump onto the railroad tracks, land on the tracks, get pulled by the train until my board catches them outside of a tunnel and...
Okay, so I'm from Chicago, so I have a lot of questions.
Oh, Chi-town.
Yeah.
Cubs, baby. Cubs.
One, are you... Is this the L? Is this like the elevated and then as it
I don't
goes
know.
Under?
I was staying in the Cougar Triangle.
Oh.
At the Sofitel.
Okay.
Do you know what the Cougar Triangle is? You wouldn't go there, obviously.
Yeah.
But.
So you're south?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And they're actually pulling you on the train?
Yeah.
Are they shooting this at like night?
No, I think we were shooting in the day.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. So first of all, you closed the train line, which all Chicagoans, why? And
then, two, they're like, that's that guy that, I remember that.
Or that day 10 years ago when I couldn't get to work on time. Jesus. But
we made a good commercial.
Yeah, that's a super cool stunt. Have you ever broken bones or anything in the sake of a movie?
No, I've never broken bones, man. I got hard bones. Great. I've been hit so hard. I've never broken a bone. I mean, I'm banged up. I walk a little funny, but I'm fine.
No, if you so your dad was in the business, but was there a point where you made a conscious decision to tell him this is what I'm gonna do? Did he dissuade you, or he's like, yes, you?
No, he's super supportive, you know. I mean, he's been banged up. He's had his nose ripped off in Romania. Yeah.
The hell?
Sorry, I jumped that one. I should have said caution.
So let me try it again.
Caution. There was a fire hydrant, and he was putting somebody out with a fire hydrant on a stunt that went wrong, and the Romanian fire hydrants are just, they're Romanian fire hydrants, and a piece of it snapped off and went crazy like this and just caught him on the nose and just
ouch.
And he was just gushing blood. Still put the guy out because my dad's a G like that, and then had to go to the hospital. He was there for a long time, wouldn't let us come visit. This is just one of the many things that's happened to my father. So I've seen him go through it, and I've seen friends of mine. My good friend Brian Becker, one of the actors on True Blood, broke both of his arms, and he was in like this weird kind of cast for a while on this movie, and I was living with him at the time, and I was watching him in a nurse helping him go to the bathroom, and I was like, I mean, it's real. It's real. People don't know. The stunt community out there is going through a lot to... make these action films happen.
Petition them for Oscars.
Yeah. It's about time.
Well, is there anything that, will there become a point that you think, maybe like not now, because I mean, I'm sure when you're older, you probably sit there and say like, I can't do that anymore. Or like, or do you take the Jackie Chan thing where like, yeah, dude, if I can physically, if I'm able to do it, I'm going to do it.
I mean, if Tom Cruise is hanging off an airplane, I'm like, I'm going to do it till I can, until I'm like physically not allowed to do it. then I'm going to be doing it for forever. But then, you know, there's always the time when you transition into, like I said, like directing. I would love to do that and take my and take time off, you know what I mean? But no, I plan on staying really fit and doing as much as I can for as long as I can.
Right on. That's so exciting.
I mean, I at least have to do it up until James Bond.
Okay, right on.
So maybe, okay, look, after yeah, after James Bond has happened, then I can kind of like sit back and relax because I accomplished something.
Just like wait for your favorite roles.
And yeah, and we'll remember this, and then I'll be like, yeah, see, I'll call you, and then I'll be like, hey, it happened.
This is how I get with Beyonce when I remember Tina Turner. I'm like, we have so many years left of Beyonce. It's so exciting. I'm curious. Okay, so movie franchises. Is there one that you really want to be a part of?
A movie franchise? I mean, does Batman count?
Is hell it yes, Batman counts.
And I know who you want to play.
Well,
besides Batman.
Wait, well, let's see.
I mean, Nightwing would be amazing. I think that would be an interesting way to go with Nightwing.
I don't pray, but I might start. One, just because who doesn't want to see Nightwing in a movie? I've been begging forever.
Well, let's see. Let's see.
Do we know?
I have friends at Warner Brothers, so let's see.
I will make calls.
Make some calls for me.
Yes.
You know, you should be my agent.
What? Yes.
Hey, watch your agent watch it. Like, as soon as you come out of here, he's like,
wait,
what'd you say?
Totally. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so a Batman franchise.
A Batman franchise would be great. Yeah. I mean, what other franchises
are there? Star Wars? I don't know if you're a Star Wars guy.
Are you kidding? I'm obsessed. Yeah, I think, I mean, people out there have seen what I can do with a katana, so, I mean, if I had a lightsaber in my hand, I think, I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, because Jessica was in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jessica Henwick.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in Force Awakens, and then, when you were on set that day, did you get to see everybody other than,
Jess and I hung out a lot.
They cool. trained together. Their training videos with like, oh yeah. my gosh.
Jess was training every day. I mean, I saw her pretty much every day in there. And she was all bruised and banged up and bloody every time and with this bright smile on her face. She loves it. That girl's a beast.
It is incredible watching her.
Oh yeah. She was like trying to soak it all up. She's like, nope, I want to do it. Nope, I want to do it. How do I learn? How do I do it? So, I mean.
Yeah, let me beat up the cage fighters.
Yeah. She has a, you know, she had a great attitude about it. And I think it shows in her. In her performance too, you know,
it definitely does.
So I'm I'm you for a second, and I'm going somewhere. Else. So I'm you, and they say that when the show is going to drop on Netflix, so mm-hmm. it's 11:59, and it's going to drop like at midnight mm. on whatever day it came out. I forget. Do you sit there and start watching episode one from the beginning, or do you say no, screw that? I know which episode I'm going to go straight because like sometimes like I'll watch my after shows, and like when I do something with Joelle, I just scrub right past her. I just scrub right past her, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I want to see me. I'm curious to know if that's what you did first, or if you actually was like, you know what, I'm gonna wait 7.5 hours.
No, you know what, it was such a long stretch from when we shot to when it was released, and there's so much hype around it. This is what actually happened. I sat down, I put on episode one, I got through about 10 or 15 minutes, and I just couldn't take it anymore, and I had to see what I was, you know, I had to see what was going on in episode 8, so moved on to episode 8, and binged episode 8. No, I couldn't wait the 8 hours. It was rough.
It was my favorite fight.
I tried, though. I swear, I attempted to try.
I mean, we appreciate the try, but also, like, episode 8, like, from 8 to the end, it's just so thrilling, like, and you have some of the best fight scenes, including from the final episode where they have that whole fight in silhouette in the rain, and you're like, it's so comics cheesy, but it's perfect. It's everything you want.
Yeah, you want it.
You know, you absolutely crave it. You're like, this is the moment demand I've been waiting
it, and you
for.
Deserve it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I have one.
Let it out.
Yeah, we're together.
I feel like maybe since Ridley's got all these alien movies stored up,
man.
that should also be a franchise that we try. Because, you know, like, seeing you do, like, any martial arts is obviously awesome. But, like, you know, how awesome would it be if you had, like, a giant machine gun walking through a forest?
I read for Covenant. Yeah, I went in and read for a role on Covenant. Got a call back, and it didn't pan out. But
next time.
Maybe next time.
I see it.
I would love to work with Ridley. He's one of the greatest of our time, you know what I mean? And he's
totally.
From England, too.
No, they just dropped the... oh my God! Why am I blanking? 2049. 2049.
Oh, Blade Runner.
Yeah, they dropped that yesterday. It looked pretty amazing.
That does look amazing.
I don't watch trailers, so I'm not a trailer person. So I don't watch trailers because it just they're like long versions of the movie, and sometimes if it's something that I really like, I won't watch the trailer. Every now and then I'll catch one, but for Blade Runner, I saw just the photo of like all the dust in the background. I was like, nah, I'm not watching that trailer. I'm just gonna wait till it comes out and I'll watch it in the theater.
So anyway, I roll with the Schmoes Knows guys a lot, and they're always talking about how they can't watch it. Like, they watched the Spider-Man trailer and they were all ready to cry at the end of it. They're like, we know what happens now. And I'm like, you can't know everything. They're like, nope, saw too much. It's ruined.
You know, and it's like the audience is, have you seen The Handmaiden?
Oh, hell yeah.
Park Chan-wook, The Handmaiden.
Yeah, I just watched it last week.
So Park Chan-wook is one of my top... He's in my top 10 greatest directors of all time. Old Boy is one of my favorite movies of all time. When I watched The Handmaiden, I did watch that trailer because a friend called me up and they were like, hey, I know you don't watch trailers. You need to watch this one. I watched it, and that's how you make a trailer. Didn't say a word. It just pulled you in, gave you so much to long for, and then just leaves you.
Here's a series of gorgeous images. Come see the whole film.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea what's going on, but because it's Park Chan-wook, I'm going to sit there and watch his, you know, watch this movie. And then, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
And and they peel off, like, each act, they peel off. Genius. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but you should see it. Yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful films of the last, like, I cannot believe the lack of Oscars for this film. It was crazy.
I heard from actually Lexi, because Lexi and I were talking about it, and she said that they didn't make the cut for the Oscar nominations.
Deadline?
That's what she...
Like, don't you make exceptions for greatness, Oscars? My God.
That would be like Park Chan-wook. Yeah. Let him in. You know, give him an extra...
It's part of... Does he even need... Like, why would he even need to apply? Like, why would you even require a person of that magnitude to put in information? Like, I just don't understand.
Genius movie. If you guys haven't seen that, Handmaiden, get on it.
It will disturb you.
Light some candles. Watch it at nighttime.
No. Keep the lights on. It's terrifying.
Get on it.
So, are you open to, like, every... Are you open to... granted, I know that TV and film are blurred now. It's a little blurred. So, like, I mean, I wouldn't even call Netflix TV. But is it more, like, the next kind of area that you're like, I'm going to try to focus more on features, or, like, any opportunity is where I'm going to go?
Yeah, well, like, a few years ago, I was saying I just wanted to do features. But now, yeah, I mean, I want to go where the good writers are, where the good directors are, where the good work is. So if that's on Netflix, if that's on Amazon, then I'm there. You know, if that's HBO, I'm there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just want to do good work that excites me, that challenges me, that scares me. That's what I want to do.
Okay, so I just, like, is a little curious about how your early acting training goes. Like, you decide you want to act. What does that look like? Are you going to, like, acting classes? Are you doing theater in school?
Yeah, I did theater in school. I've been going to acting class. I go to the John Kirby studio. I went there for, I think, maybe 9 years straight, almost. And we did everything. Tennessee Williams, John Patrick Shanley, David Mamet, you know what I mean? The list goes on, just all the way down.
Like a legit
all the great
theater nerd.
Yeah. All the great playwrights we did, because that's how you learn the fundamentals. So in that class, it was just all about learning the fundamentals. There was no cheating for camera. There was no, you know, I knew that already, actually. Yeah. So I actually didn't even have to learn that part. I just had to learn the fundamentals. And he teaches very similar to what Marlon Brando learned with Stella Adler and Uta Hagens.
So, high school cafeteria, are you sitting with the jocks or are you sitting with the theater nerds?
I kind of had my own. I don't like to bring up high school.
You're like principal's office.
I was kind of like one of the rebel kids that was just in trouble all the time. And I had my own little group of friends. So I wasn't really with the jocks or with the theater nerds. I was with, like, you know.
You could say it.
maybe he's like Pony Boy, or I don't know, or from, you know, The Outsiders.
In 16, yeah, in 16 Candles, you know, I'm like the bad boy with the leather jacket type of kid school. Causing trouble, thinking I was cool. You know, that's what I was doing. Yeah.
So high school, not so hot, but then...
High school, not so hot. I saw someone, a few years ago, this is, I don't know why I'm saying this on TV, but I saw someone a long time ago from school, and I'm like, hey, I won't say his name, gave him a big hug, and he was looking at me like, And I'm like, what, man? And he's like, I don't know. You're just like, you're so nice right now. I'm like, I wasn't nice in school. And he was like, no, man, you didn't talk to me in school. I was like, oh, no.
But that's,
You live and you learn. You know, you look back and you want to correct those type of mistakes that you made. So, you know.
But it's also a different time in everybody's life, too. I mean, it's made to be, you know, there's cliques and.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I went to a school in Simi Valley. It was a predominantly white school. I got kicked out of a school and I had to transfer to this school. And when I got there, it was predominantly white and pretty racist. So I was like kind of on the defensive at all times as well. You know what I mean? So I did kind of have like my back against the wall.
Yeah, my upbringing, yeah. My whole town, entire population of minorities, less than 1%.
Right.
So it was
very
like,
similar to Simi Valley.
Yeah. Anywhere you go, you're just completely othered. And you know, it's not really pleasant to try to have to explain yourself all the time.
That's what you had to do?
It's exhausting. Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska. So that place is 99.9% white. And I'm like,
So we all know what's going down here.
A lot of
and look where we are now.
Totally. You gotta be blessed for otherness. It's a struggle when you're going through it, but man, when you're ready to do something big, like you've got all the tools necessary.
It makes you strong, and it gives you a good sense of who you are at an early age. Hopefully, you know what I mean. If you really seek it and seek out to kind of understand what's going on and what's out there in the world, it's not all butterflies. You know what I mean? And that's all right because it's a beautiful thing on all spectrums.
And it's better to be aware of what's going on.
Absolutely, 100%. And now, it's just happening in the film world. You know what I mean? These topics and these controversies of whitewashing and everybody wanting to feel represented. It's happening now. So it's just, I mean, if it didn't happen to me then, maybe I wouldn't have such a strong passion for it now. You know what I mean? If I had it so easy, but I didn't have it easy. My father didn't have it easy. His father didn't have it easy. But you know. We're moving forward, and we're being better every day for it. So
yeah, there's progress.
Preach that sermon. That was beautiful.
Progress.
That
yes.
Was
hallelujah. Can I get a
tabernacle?
Well, yes. Okay. So before we like kind of like wind down, I wanted to know. You said you wanted to talk about a TV show that you're maybe thinking about working on or a project that.
Thinking about working on. I actually I have a project that I wrote based on my father's childhood. So it's funny that led into that nicely. Thanks, Rick. But my father had a really crazy upbringing as a child, and he was left in China when he was 5 years old. He woke up and his parents were gone, and he was living on the street for a long time. And the family that took him in was very abusive, and my father would sneak out at night, and he would watch the Chinese opera through like a fence, and he would watch these gymnasts and these martial artists. And that was the first time he was exposed to that, and it was kind of like a little bit of peace for him. So, you know, this is a story that I know from my dad telling me for a long time, and I was like, this would be a really interesting origin story. So I've been working, and I got this, I got a series put together. It's an ancient American superhero story. I would be playing the character of my father or the hero role. And
did your dad sit there and say, you know what, someone else should play me? What, you? No.
He was like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, you're not right. You can't play me.
No, he's been really supportive about it. He helped me shoot the teaser trailer that we did. Lexi Alexander directed it. And all the pieces came together, man. I took my first meeting at a big production house, and they were like, cancel your other meetings. So that's in the works. Be on the lookout for it. It's called The Fireborn.
So first of all, Twitter gods coming together to make products IRL is like my favorite thing in the entire universe. And I adore everything Lexi does. And it's so cool because I know all of her fans are like, we need you to do more stuff like you did with The Punisher. It's so cool. So that's really exciting. Also, is your dad Nightwing?
Secretly?
Yeah, secretly watching acrobatic performers at a young age.
Funny enough, the reason why I'm literally sitting at this table today is because of Batman.
What?
My dad moved from London to do Tim Burton's Batman. The reason why we're even here in Hollywood is because of Tim Burton's Batman. My dad worked on that film and was a villain.
And Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson.
Yep. And my dad was did some of the martial arts choreography. He also played a role. And this is why I'm here. So it's funny enough that you say that because it could
so
very well come
says.
Full circle.
Yes.
Shout out to Warner Brothers, my favorite studio. So let's see.
Wait, where do you call home?
LA. LA's home. LA's my home for a long time, you know. I travel a lot. I'm always in different spots, but LA's home. LA's home to me.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Joelle, anything else?
No, man, this has just been, like, so amazing. I'm so excited to watch your career blossom and do just super cool, amazing things. And as if we're, like, as stunning and as great as you always are with martial arts, I'm excited to see you branch out and do some, like, just really, you're such a great actor, too. And so I hope casting people are listening and are looking to cast you outside of, you know, the bubble.
Yeah, you were definitely the highlight for us for when we were covering Iron Fist. Absolutely, for sure.
Thank you, guys. No, I appreciate it so much. I'm honestly humbled by it, and the support that I get on Twitter, especially from the black community, has been, like, just insane. And it's crazy how they really stood up for us when we were going through, you know, this time of misrepresentation and underrepresentation for Asian Americans. I mean, they really came out and stood up for us, and I respect that so much. So it's a beautiful thing to see people uniting, and the amount of love and support I get on the internet is it helps me get through everything.
It's beautiful.
So thank you, guys. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm glad that scar healed up all night.
You should see the rest of it. So.
Okay, Lewis, where can everybody find you on social media?
You know where I'm at. The Lewis Tan on Twitter. And Lewis Tan, I'm looking at you like, what is it? Lewis Tan Official on Instagram. That's where I'm at. That's where you can see all the goods.
Follow. Go to YouTube. Check the training videos, because they're amazing. And if you have not watched Iron Fist yet, you know, watch the whole series, but also check out episode 8 and this amazing Drunken Master Kung Fu fight. It's just wonderful.
And Joelle, where can everybody find you?
Yeah. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique, every week at blackgirlnerds.com, every Wednesday at the Schmoes Knows. And if you go online now, you can see my diversity panel from Klexicon in Vegas with the other Black Girl Nerds. And my interview with W. Kamau Bell from United States of America on CNN is coming out sometime this week.
Ooh, you can't top that. You can't even top that, Rick. Go ahead and try, but you can't.
And I'm Rick Hong. Can you follow me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHung. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Lewis Tan. Yes. It's been a treat.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.